Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lingle, your host. It's Friday, the 30th of January, 2026. Voters in Wyoming could weigh in on abortion rights this fall. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mersbach breaks this down.
Many Wyoming Republicans want to see a vote on an amendment that could somehow restrict abortion, either a partial or near total ban, or give rights to life in the womb. It could be a last resort for the lawmakers since state courts blocked their legislative efforts. In the last public vote in 1994, Wyomingites shot down an abortion ban 60-40. Here's UC Davis law professor Mary Ziegler.
Even though there's a strong conservative Christian community, there's also a strong libertarian streak in the Republican Party that complicates the politics of this.
The same could be true in Idaho, where abortion's already banned. Advocates there are trying to get enough signatures by May to put reproductive freedoms on the ballot. Wyoming lawmakers will likely decide on amendment language in their upcoming session starting February 9th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
A project to increase electricity infrastructure and connect regional electric grids is moving ahead in eastern Montana. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
State and federal environmental regulators are considering the plan for 420 miles of new electric transmission lines. Once completed, the infrastructure will link the western and eastern electric grids and increase electricity transfer capacity by over 1,000%. The U.S. Department of Energy awarded the North Plains Connector $700 million in federal funding under the Biden administration as a way to bolster the nation's aging electricity infrastructure. The grant covers just over an eighth of the project's $5 billion budget. Brant Johnson with developer Grid United says the grant is back on track after a period of review under the new administration.
We are continuing to talk with them, and the grant is making progress.
The North Plains Connector will pass through Custer and Fallon counties in eastern Montana on its way between Colstrip in Rosebud County and North Dakota. Johnson says the permitting process is halfway done, and the North Plains Connector will reach operation in 2031 or 2032. The U.S. Department of Energy and Montana Department of Environmental Quality are considering the project's environmental impact as part of a certificate of compliance required to build large energy projects in Montana. The State Department of Environmental Quality is taking public input through February 23rd. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
There was an earthquake in central Montana Thursday afternoon. The National Weather Service in Great Falls reports a 4.2 earthquake at 12:41 Thursday afternoon. The U.S. Geological Survey reports the earthquake was 7.5 miles northeast of Malmstrom Air Force Base. Depth of the quake is estimated by USGS at just over 6 miles. Initial reports to the USGS indicate the earthquake was felt as far north as Shelby and as far south as Helena. The University of Montana hopes to hire its next president by spring. The university system's chief concedes it's an ambitious timeline, but is confident all building blocks are in place to make it possible. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Montana Commissioner of Higher Education Clay Christian's new year has been a whirlwind ever since UM President Seth Bodner abruptly announced his resignation last Wednesday.
That's what we get handed sometimes, and that's just fine.
Bodner's announcement did not explicitly explain his decision. However, speculation is rampant he intends to run for the U.S. Senate to challenge Republican incumbent Steve Daines. Christian tells MTPR Bodner is clearing out his office, adding his resignation should be complete by the weekend. Christian sent an email to the campus community Thursday outlining the search process for UM's next president. He met with student, staff, and faculty leadership last week to discuss the transition. Christian says they're ready to build on the accomplishments of the past several years. Those include enrollment growth and record-high student retention rates.
There's a sense that they have done it together and that momentum, that energy can continue to move forward in a positive way.
The Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education and the Board of Regents have hired a third party to help with the presidential search. Consultant AGB Search helped recruit Bodner over 8 years ago. Christian doesn't think an internal search advisory committee will be necessary.
This isn't a campus that needs a reset or we need to rethink all there is on that campus. I think that was done when President Bodner started. I think we need someone that can meet the campus where they're at and move us forward to the next level.
Christian says he'll help handle the routine day-to-day leadership tasks of the UM campus and currently does not think it will be necessary to appoint an interim president. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Montanans charged or convicted of crimes in the state often face barriers finding a job and housing long after their cases have closed, and the internet creates a permanent record. As Montana Public Radio's Eleanor Smith reports, the state is looking at ways to change that.
Personal information, including criminal history, is readily available online to prospective employers and landlords. Lawmakers are discussing ways to help Montanans with criminal records expunge them, which can help get some of those records offline. The Montana Legal Services Association is a nonprofit focused on providing legal counsel regardless of income. William Hooks, their director of advocacy, says convictions can affect more than employment opportunities and housing options.
It can just impact so many aspects of a person's life well after they've served the time and complied with all of the conditions imposed by a court.
According to recent data, 26% of Montanans have some form of criminal record. To get a record expunged, they must be without new criminal charges for at least 5 years and follow a multi-step process. Sarah Anderson is the Associate Director of Criminal Justice and Civil Liberties for the R Street Institute. She says onerous policies for record expungement can lead to increased recidivism.
When criminal records unnecessarily block those stabilizing factors, they do not just harm individuals themselves. They can also undermine public safety and increase the likelihood of more crime and more victimization across our communities.
Lawmakers will finalize any changes to expungement policy prior to the 2027 legislative session. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Eleanor Smith.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is creating a task force to look at requirements for state occupational licenses. Licensure is required for a variety of professions. In a news release, Gianforte said outdated regulations for licensing are barriers to growing the state's workforce. He said he's particularly concerned about a shortage of construction and healthcare workers. The 27-member task force will review the state's licensing system. The group's recommendations to ease requirements while balancing public safety concerns are due next fall. Gianforte previously signed legislation to standardize licensure applications and processing. Wyoming's unemployment rate in December 2025 remained at 3.4% for the second consecutive month. The Research and Planning section of Wyoming's Workforce Service Department reported the numbers Thursday. Wyoming's state rate is 1% lower than the national December unemployment rate of 4.4%. From November to December, the unemployment rate in most of the counties remained relatively unchanged, except in Teton County, where the rate dropped 2% as the winter tourist season ramped up. The unemployment rate dropped slightly in Platte and Lincoln counties, while it rose slightly in Weston, Carbon, Niobrara, and Crook counties. Over the past year, total non-farm employment in Wyoming decreased by some 800 jobs, according to estimates from Current Employment. The biggest organizing body in rodeo, the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, has all but decided to move its headquarters from Colorado Springs, Colorado, to Cheyenne, Wyoming. But some conservative lawmakers in Wyoming oppose a state incentive for the move. Last week, the PRCA board voted to seriously consider moving to Cheyenne. The deal is contingent on $15 million in state funding and matching local funds. Enough conservative state lawmakers could scuttle the financial enticement for the PRCA to seal the deal. Lawmakers, including Republican State Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams, says taxpayers shouldn't be giving handouts to multi-million dollar corporations. Williams is among members of the powerful Freedom Caucus who seek significant budget cuts when the Wyoming legislature meets. Williams is from Cody, which lost out to Cheyenne last week when the PRCA board voted to seriously consider moving its headquarters there. The PRCA's Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum of the American Cowboy would also leave Colorado Springs, where the organization has been based since 1979. Fascism is bubbling in many heated political conversations these days. We spoke with an MSU Billings history professor about the 20th century political movement, fascism, that decimated the European continent, killing millions of civilians. Jennifer Lynn teaches history at Billings, including a course on Germany in World War II. Lynn explains that fascism was actually a creation of the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini, who allied with the Nazis in Germany to form a portion of the World War II Axis powers, the enemies of the U.S. and its allies. The populist movement gained power quickly as Europe struggled with economic distress, and it demonstrated certain recognizable authoritarian traits.
And within this is also both an acceptance and a celebration of violence. This is inherent historically in fascist regimes and ideology. Fascism posits that there's one authoritarian leader who sort of embodies like the national will. Right. So that this leader is the only person who can truly sort of understand the destiny of the nation, and sort of loyalty to this leader and to these principles are part of the practice of fascism. I would also add that fascist ideologies often have a racialized component with them.
In World War II, the Nazis persecuted and murdered millions in racial profiling, including over 6 million European Jews. The MSU Billings History Department will host Montanan Andrew Laszlo Jr. next week in a Tuesday evening presentation. His presentation is titled Growing Up in Hungary, The Holocaust, and Coming to America. It's a book written by his father, Andrew Laszlo Sr., who survived the Nazi camps and eventually became a renowned Hollywood cinematographer. That's The Worm for this Friday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have The Weekend Worm for you. I'm Carl Lengel.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.